It is 26 minutes after the hour on a Transcendent Tuesday. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, a biochemist. Don, also a member of the board of Creation Moments. We want to recommend their website to you. It's creationmoments.com. Don, good morning. Welcome. And we're talking solar today, huh?
Yes, we are talking solar, and we're talking about a solar reactor that was commissioned back in 2014 in the Mojave Desert.
Yeah, I don't know what people picture when you say solar, but I put a link to this article that we're about to discuss in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com, and you need to see it if only for the photograph. This is a pretty awesome thing. Who can imagine all those solar panels in a big circle? And who could imagine it ever succeeding? Well, somebody did for a time.
Yes, for a time. And the photo reminded me of a movie. Remember the movie with Penelope Cruz and Steve Zahn? It was called Sahara.
I remember that movie. It was a good movie.
Filmed in the Sahara Desert. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, they were treasure hunting, and they were having all kinds of difficulties, and the natives were going after them. And they wind up in this power plant, which was solar powered, and it was the similar design as the one we see here, concentrated solar power plant.
Yeah, this is in the Mojave Desert, right near the Nevada border. It's in California. It's called Ivanpah, the Ivanpah Solar Power Facility, once hailed as a pioneering project. Not so anymore, though.
Was this the movie Sahara in 2005?
Yeah. Yes.
Matthew McConaughey, uh-huh. Steve Zahn, and Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
Okay. Treasure hunter.
Anyway, they wound up in this scenes, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. They wound up at this solar power plant, and the plant was supposed to be incinerating toxic waste. But instead of using the plant for that purposes, they were actually dumping it into the system, into the aquifers, and it was poisoning people. And anyway, it was an interesting, I think that was the same movie. I could be getting it wrong with another movie. But anyway, this particular topic reminded me very much of that, because they had a solar array very much like this one. Now, this one it's in the Mojave Desert near the California-Nevada border. It was commissioned back in 2014, and it only cost $1.6 billion, which was a guaranteed loan by your tax dollars, the U.S. Department of Energy. It was supposed to be a long-term power project, and the utility companies, Specific Gas and Electric, Southern California Edison, promised to buy the electricity. The plant spanned 5 square miles. We're not talking about a small project. This was a huge project. Over that 5 square miles was 350,000 mirrors that tracked the sun. And they would focus the sun rays onto 4 towers, which then created the solar energy into heat, which heated boilers. The boilers, of course, created steam, and there were steam power generators.
So these were not solar cells.
These were
mirrors. Can you imagine aiming that many mirrors? Now, this is for those of you who haven't seen the photo. You really want to see the photo, but they're concentric circles of this that go out, well, whatever diameter 5 square miles would be. But they all have to. Did they follow the sun? The sun moves across the sky. Well, that technically that's not true. The Earth spins, but it would mean that each one of those mirrors would have to track the best angle to reflect the sun to the center of the thing.
So that's exactly right. Each one had to have at least two motors to be able to adjust the mirrors according to where the sun location was. And they had to have a sun tracking system, which is trivial these days with the electronics that we have. But back then, so you're talking about a lot of mechanical parts, you know. So if, let's say, each mirror had 350,000, if there were 350,000 mirrors, each mirror having at least two motors, we're talking about 700,000 motors, each, any of which can fail at any moment, not to mention all the wires that you need in order to communicate, you know, back to the central processing unit. And they had to remain focused on the sun. And so you lose efficiency, obviously, if any of these things break.
You know what? Then, you know what this reminds me of? Frankenstein. You got all these parts connected, supposed to work together, but in his case, the brain was bad. In this case, the whole idea was bad.
Well, it was claimed to be a marvel in environmental. You know, here we got clean energy, environment. We're just using the sun, and we're just focusing the sun on these towers now. So, yes, the problem. They started experiencing problems probably fairly quickly, and it was high maintenance. This thing was, I'm sure, extremely high maintenance. They had to continuously, you know, monitor each mirror and fix any parts that were a problem. Then the boilers, you've got, you know, the issues with boilers. Now, you know, steam generation is not it's pretty common in the electrical generation field, right? I mean, we use different techniques for heating water, and actually nuclear power plants use the same type of technology.
This is really a low tech deal, except for controlling all those mirrors. And I can just hear them. Frank, would you go out and clean the mirrors? Yeah. take this bottle of Windex with you. Yeah.
Well, and can you imagine the amount of the temperature that these mirrors, you know, when you focused all of that solar, all that sunlight into a very, you know, small space, what the temperature had to be? It had to be great. Now, they don't mention what that was in the article, but it had to be pretty great.
Well, the towers, in fact, I think it mentions there are three towers that these mirrors all focus on, but they're 450 feet high. So that's how many football fields? That's 1.5 football fields? Feet? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all those mirrors would be, I'm just thinking, who would walk around in that? So they aim them high, so there's a space for human activity down below. But seems to me that's a whole lot of risk.
Well, you couldn't put people up there. It'd be way too hot. I mean,
right.
It would cook people.
Yeah, so it would definitely.
But they could walk around. They would have access to the mirrors, so they could do repairs or clean or adjust whatever they had to do.
Yeah, probably if you're under the mirrors. I don't know how high the mirrors are, but yeah. if you were under the mirrors, you probably were safe. But even probably in lower locations in the tower, it had to be a fairly dangerous project. At any rate, because of the mechanical nature of this particular project and the required maintenance that it took to keep it running, they have decided now at the end of this year to shut the thing down. So they're going to be decommissioning it in 2026. So 11 years later, the project is closed. And they didn't give any mention in this article how much electricity this particular plant generated. Was it becoming less efficient as time went on? But they were facing many, many challenges, not only the technical difficulties of the mechanical issues that we've already mentioned, but challenges of new technology coming on the scene. And you mentioned that new technology earlier in the program. It's called photovoltaic or solar panels. The photovoltaic panels or solar panels, which is what we commonly think now of solar energy. You see these fields of solar panels, they collect electricity and they convert the electricity directly. I mean, they convert the sunlight directly into electricity. And so it's more efficient. It's cheaper. It's much cheaper than this thing per amount of electricity generated. So this has become obsolete. The bottom line is it became obsolete. It became obsolete. So $1.6 billion spent on this one facility becomes obsolete in 11 years. Now, you would like to see that $1.6 billion investment last you 50 years, but in this case, it didn't. So it was a project. It's kind of a neat idea, but mechanically very, very complicated.
Well, whoever thought this was a good idea? I mean, politics had to do something. This was under Obama. This would have been the second great solar failure of the Obama administration. The first one, remember Solaray? They gave millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they went bankrupt. And now this top of that. People who are evaluating the technology are not very good at it.
Well, you get politicians involved instead of, engineers. And they promoted this as a clean source of energy. And it was good for the environment. The only problem was that the tortoises, it was causing havoc with the tortoises in the desert. And of course, any birds that flew over the area got fried. Mm-hmm. And so not so much environmentally friendly, at least not to the birds or the tortoises.
I've got a bit of an article up for the Ivanpah solar power facility. 392 megawatts, is that a lot?
No, we're talking about gigawatts these days. So megawatts, okay. 390. It probably, I don't know how much Reno, Nevada, for example, how much energy it uses. It might power Reno, Nevada, maybe some other cities. But we have scaled up tremendously since that time. And even your solar panels, I mean, not your solar, the solar panels and the wind generation, when they're working, that's the problem. The one advantage of this system was they were able to store, of course, hot water and the thermal energy so that it could run continuously over, when at night as well as when during cloudy days. So they apparently designed in the system enough heat capacity to trap that thermal heat that was being generated by the sun and these mirror arrays to have it generate electricity continuously. Unlike solar and wind today, that obviously only wind, you need wind to turn a wind turbine and you need sunlight in order to power a solar cell, the photovoltaic type of solar cells. So that was the advantage, but in the end, it really didn't pan out. So what did we learn from this? One, we learned that we spent a lot of money, and we built a interesting device, right? You know, this type of mirror array we actually use for looking up into space, because we focus the light from space in a very similar way. You know, instead of building a big mirror, you build smaller mirrors, and then you focus them in the same way that this power plant was focusing the mirrors. Instead of on a tower, you focus it on another, you know, mirror up on a tower, and then you use it as a big telescope and look out into space. Now, those type of telescopes and telescopes here on Earth have been superseded by the telescopes that we now have in space, because they are, especially the James telescope, is much more, it gives us much greater resolution.
And they are developed by private enterprise.
They are. And isn't it interesting that when you allow the private sector to do their thing without getting government involvement, you come up with a better product. So what do we learn? Okay, get the government out of the business. You know, okay, in order to build this thing, it needed a lot of cash. And the only place that had that much cash was the government. These were loan guarantees, so I don't know if the government got paid back or not. Probably not. You know, it didn't run long enough.
The original people who operated the system, NRG Energy, were the ones that got the loan guarantees. And the article in Wikipedia says that NRG declined to say how much of the $1.6 billion loan guarantees remain unpaid. As of this year. So they have declined. They're checking into it.
Yeah, they're checking. We got to check to see what the balance sheet is.
It reminds me of the phrase that John Stone Street just included in the Breakpoint program. The most feared words in the English language is, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we're going to help you not succeed. So this is one point. All right. So, but the other point, when I was reading about this, and I'm saying, why do you build a 5-square-mile facility without testing the concept? I mean, without saying, let's build a small one, let's run it for a certain number of years and see what the problems are before we invest all this money. But Obama was throwing money out to, you know, to these companies, startup companies, and who knows how much, you know, kickback. I'm not saying that there was kickback, but, you know, usually when you get the government involved in these type of contracts, somebody's being paid in order to receive, you know, give out that much money. But why not start with a small thing? So here we are trying to find ways to generate electricity. And in my opinion, the best project going is these micro reactors, nuclear reactors, because they can generate enough electricity for a small town or for even a big town, depending on how many of these you put together. And one, they're small, so you're not investing that much money in each reactor. You're investing a lot less, and they can power the databases, data centers that are needed for artificial intelligence, and they're portable, so you can move them from one place to another. I mean, there's so much advantage into going distributed rather than trying to concentrate all of your efforts into one place. And we've learned this in the computer industry, right? I mean, we first started off with a single processor. And then we figured out that, hey, if we write programs that can utilize multiple processors at one time, we can do a lot more calculations. And we don't need to have big processors in order to handle that, because, you know, we're running up against a speed limit here. So we'll do distributed processing. And lo and behold, now what is needed by AI, it's these, you know, thousands and thousands of multiprocessor computers that distribute the computing power over thousands of processors, right? And each one doesn't cost that much. And so you can scale it up as much as you want, and you just buy another, computer, basically a small computer, as opposed to building a big, huge facility. Now, you do need a lot of data storage, but even that is getting to the point where every time a new data chip, memory chip comes out, it's smaller and smaller, and you got more memory on a tiny little chip. I mean, can you imagine that you could plug into your computer a memory stick that had 1 to 2 to 5 terabits of information on it? Wow. I mean, when I was going to school, 16,000 bits was a lot. And then when you got to 64, you felt, oh, gee, wow, I got a lot of space here.
And my first computer was sold to me, and it was expensive. It was a Compaq. It had 89 megabytes of capacity. Wow.
Yeah, and that was a lot back then. And then we were doing, you had the 5 1/4 inch and then floppies, and then they got the smaller floppies, and then we didn't have floppies at all. We had optical discs. And anyway, you know, technology moves on. And that certainly was the case here with this particular solar reactor. So I think one of the big lessons that the government should learn and private industry should learn is you don't build things like this at this scale without doing some smaller test projects. And Elon Musk is famous for this. He doesn't build a big rocket. We'll just build a big rocket and blow it up because and say, oh well, it didn't work. You go small. You eliminate any excess parts that you don't need. You try to make it as efficient as possible, and then you scale it up. That wasn't what happened here. And so a couple of takeaways. One, get the government out of your business. Industry can do a much better job. And two, maybe go distributed as opposed to, try to concentrate everything in one spot.
I wonder if this was obsolete before they started building it.
Well, that could have very well be, because back in 2014, solar panels were available. It's not that they weren't available. But I would say probably the Asians weren't making them at the scale that they're making them now, right? I mean, you can go, actually, you could, I mean, anybody can go on eBay and buy hundreds of solar chips, and the chips are usually 6x6 or 3x6 or whatever, and they only generate like 2.8 watts of energy or 3.2 watts of energy, depending on the size of the chip. But you put this array together and you can then have a solar panel. But you can build a solar panel relatively cheaply. I mean, these mm-hmm. chips, some of them go for less than $1 a piece. And so you can, theoretically, a homeowner could build one of these. Now, you can buy these things. You can buy a 100-watt solar panel now for probably $100 or $150. So the technology, not that the technology has changed so much, is that the manufacturing capability has scaled up, that it made these solar chips much cheaper.
Again, a function of private enterprise, not government.
I yes. remember talking to Bob Bungard about putting solar panels on the radio station in 2002.
Yeah.
That was 11 years before this thing was even even dreamed of.
Right. And, that, you know, it was probably much more expensive back then to do it. Today, it would be less expensive. The only thing that makes it more expensive is government's involvement, because they say, oh, we'll give you a tax credit if you install solar panels on your home or on your business or whatever. What does that do to the industry? Right. It jacks up the price.
Yep. And there are a lot of people here in Central Texas who have put solar arrays on their roofs, and some of them impressively large, at an impressively large price tag over the past few years. It could cost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 or more, and it wears out in 20 years.
Mm. Yes.
You got to do it again. So, yeah, hang on to it. Technology is still getting there. It's not there yet.
Well, and then you got to wash the panels, right? Mm-hmm. Because they get dirty. Mm-hmm. And then when they get dirty, they're not as efficient. And then, you know, you go to look in your refrigerator and everything is warm because your electricity.
I always thought they should have run copper tubing through those same solar cells to collect heat and heat water with the same facility. Have they done that? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. You can. I mean, not through those panels.
Well, I don't know why not. Yeah,
there are solar panels that have copper tubing.
Okay,
and you can build this at home. All you need is copper tubing, or plastic tubing, black plastic tubing. You put it in a case, and you have a pump that goes and pumps water from your hot water heater up to the roof, and collects the hot water and brings it back down to your hot water.
Well, see, it makes sense. And I'm a day late and several dollars short. So
yeah, those systems are available today.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law built a fairly large, it's probably 20 feet long and maybe 10 feet high. And it was a solar array in his backyard, and he was heating his house with it. But the last time I checked with him, he was burning wood and wood pellets to heat the house. And I said, what happened to the solar array? And he said, it doesn't work anymore.
check his inverter or his solar controller that is probably, or wipe the panels clean.
I mean, I think he discovered that he's got to keep wiping the panels clean.
Well, I guess the lesson in this, keep your ear to the ground for new developments, but in the meantime, stick with the tried and the true. And just be cautious and keep the government away. It just spoils things. Dial a member of the board of Creation Moments, and we recommend their website, creationmoments.com, all about the biblical story of creation, and they can enable you to teach it too. You might want to take a look there and even recommend some other products to your church group for small Bible studies. It would be a gift to them, I'm sure. Don, thank you for what you do, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, indeed. All righty. So long, folks.